It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in today. Our top story is the Trump administration tightening enforcement of immigration laws. That means more people targeted for deportation. Now, any undocumented immigrant who's been charged or convicted of any crime could be an enforcement priority. That could include somebody arrested for shoplifting or a minor traffic offense. So let's talk about this and more about the Trump presidency with former Seattle Congressman Jim McDermott. Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Good to see you. Chris Vance, former state representative and former state Republican Party chair. Welcome back, Chris.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's good, thank you. I'd like to first ask both of you what you think of, here, let me get your, you have a little volume button there so you can hear him, Congressman. That's it. Okay. Chris, say hi to the congressman so he can hear you.
Congressman, how are you, sir?
How are you, Chris?
Problem
I'm good.
Solved.
Good.
Welcome. Okay, so here's my first question. I just mentioned the tightening of immigration policy. Congressman McDermott, what do you think of Trump making more people a priority for deportation? He says, or a DHS official says, don't panic, this is not mass deportations, but it's certainly expanding the pool of people who could be sent away.
I don't think anybody's going to trust this president until they actually see what begins to happen, because what he did with that initial ban was throw everything up in the air and make everybody worried. And so now nobody trusts him at all. He's going to have a tough job winning back the confidence of the people.
Chris Vance, your reaction to increased pool of deportation targets?
Well, it's exactly what Trump said he was going to do during the campaign. Nobody should be surprised by this. He said he was going to deport everybody who was eligible for deportation, everybody who's undocumented, beginning with convicted felons and people like that, but then eventually deporting everybody who under the law should be deported. The big thing I think for Republicans is a lot of Republicans were hoping that the presidency would change Donald Trump, or maybe he didn't mean what he said. But on the core, his core issues like protectionism regarding trade and on immigration, he meant what he said, and he's going to do what he said.
Do you think that this tightening of immigration policy affects Seattle's stance as a sanctuary city one way or the other, Jim McDermott?
Well, I don't know about the sanctuary city. It affects us because the question here is, do we want people to come in from the outside to bring knowledge and technical ability or back labor into this country or not? And we have not resolved that. We need an immigration reform bill to really clarify this issue. Otherwise, this is going to be one kind of patchwork mess all across the country.
Chris Vance, do you think is there any question, assuming the Trump administration is dotting I's and crossing T's, is there any legal question as to whether the president gets to enforce immigration policy in the way we're talking about today?
Well, there's two parts to this. Yes, they can enforce the law, but immigration rights groups and immigrants themselves will, of course, resist. They will lawyer up. They will fight this step by step. And if the Trump administration actually tries to deport all or part of the 11 to 12 million people who are here undocumented, it is just going to jam up our courts, jam up the system. The congressman's right. I mean, in 2013, the United States Senate passed an excellent bill on immigration reform that 14 intelligent, reasonable Republicans voted for. We need comprehensive immigration reform. If Congress would pass an immigration reform law, then they could take away the president's ability to do these deportations.
You're talking about the Republican Congress we have right now?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, and I think the vast majority of Republicans actually supported the basic building blocks of policy that were in that bill. John Boehner knew it needed to pass. He just couldn't get it past some of the Tea Party members of his caucus. On this and many other issues, Republicans need to show some courage and do their job and pass bills that will rein in the Trump administration.
I think really Chris has made a very important point. John Boehner knew, and John Boehner was
the former House Republican House Speaker.
He was unwilling to come across the aisle and compromise. There were plenty of votes on the Democratic side. John was afraid that if he did that, it would be the end of his speakership. And he was doomed anyway. But he should have done that. We could have had a good bill, a nice balanced bill out of the Senate. Not perfect. Some I didn't like. But it was plenty of votes between reasonable Democrats and reasonable Republicans to pass that bill.
Let's talk bigger picture about this Trump presidency, because Jim McDermott, you're teaching a University of Washington class about Trump's first 100 days, and we're a third of the way in. How would you assess this president so far? Whether agree or disagree, but you know, you also are assessing how he's doing what he's doing and what the checks and balances are.
Well, I think his personal style has made it impossible for him to get a very good start. He doesn't like to have a regular order. He wants to be the boss of everything. And to try and run it all yourself and decide it all yourself is impossible. And so he has got plenty of places that aren't filled yet. He's still trying to get a labor secretary in there. He's looking for a national security advisor until this morning, after he fired one after 15 days. I mean, this is chaos in motion, and he's got to stop that if he's going to get this country rolling internationally and domestically. But he still wants to tweet. He wants to be a 16-year-old boy that can get up in the middle of the night and say whatever he wants on his Twitter account, and that's simply not going to be acceptable for a president.
But you know, Congressman, that his fans don't mind the chaos or the tweeting or even the slow process of installing staff and cabinet members. You know, they say we want results, and you're saying, what are the odds we're still going to be talking about chaos 6 months in or a year in?
I think we absolutely are. Yeah. We have an issue on the table, which is not going to go away, and that's the whole question of the Russians' involvement in our election and what part Mr. Flynn played in all that and what part the president played in it. Were laws broken? What went on in that period before Trump became president, when he was out there negotiating like he was president of the United States? Both he and Flynn were breaking what the Logan Act, it looks like, but that's going to have to come out through a legal process of a special prosecutor, and I don't know when that's going to start, but it's not going to go away.
Is that going to happen, a congressional investigation and or a special prosecutor?
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah.
This, when Dan Rather starts talking about this, seems a lot like Watergate. It does have that. Nobody thought Watergate was going to happen. It was originally just a little burglary up at the Watergate of the Democratic headquarters.
Hotel.
Yeah, it was nothing. But ultimately, as it was brought out and dragged out, it brought out all kinds of stuff that nobody. And they have NSA stuff. Communications between Mr. Trump and the Russians, and Flynn and the Russians, and you can't deny that kind of stuff. So it's ultimately going to have to come to some kind of a process that resolves whether it was legal or not.
Chris Vance, do you see your fellow Republicans in Washington, D.C. actually investigating this president over Russia connections?
Well, that's going to be a huge issue, isn't it? I mean, there is and has been and probably will be for some time a war going on for the soul of the Republican Party. There are a lot of Republicans, people like Jeff Sessions, who like Donald Trump and share his kind of protectionist, nativist, isolationist policies. There's other Republicans who absolutely oppose that and are starting to speak up, led by John McCain. And thank God for John McCain right now. I haven't always agreed with him on everything, but John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Ben Sasse and to some extent Marco Rubio and Jeff Flake. But then there's a ton of other Republicans, I think most Republicans, who just are hating this and they don't know what to do about it. They don't want to anger their own base. They don't want to get annihilated by talk radio, but they don't agree with where the Trump administration is going. They're troubled by the Russian connection. What happens within the Republican Party over the next 6 months to a year is going to be determinative on whether or not Congress does its constitutional job, which is to hold the executive branch accountable.
The person who was just talking is Chris Vance, former state representative, state Republican Party chair. The person who was nodding his head during all of that is former Seattle Congress member Jim McDermott, Democrat. Do you think, first, Chris, does it matter what Republicans in Washington state do or say?
It matters first of all, democracy ultimately works. Voters get what they want. If the Republican base will turn on Trump and start demanding that Republican members of Congress hold him accountable, that'll happen. But in the short term, our four Republican members of Congress matter. Two of them, really, I mean, I love Dan Newhouse and I love Jamie Herrera Butler, but Dave Reichert is now a senior member of the Ways and Means Committee, the chairman of the Trade Subcommittee on Ways and Means. He ought to be fighting the Trump administration on, he should not have accepted the death of TPP, for example. And most important is Kathy McMorris Rodgers, the number four person in the Republican leadership. She sits at the table when Paul Ryan and his lieutenants, of which she is one, make decisions of what's going to happen in the House. So at least two of our four Republican members of Congress are very important, and that's why people need to put pressure on them to put pressure on Trump.
Congressman McDermott, former congressman, so let's say Kathy McMorris Rodgers or Dave Reichert, a Washington State member of Congress, Republican, comes to you and says, I'm concerned too, but what's the strategic thing to do here? Been in Congress for more than a quarter century. What's your advice?
I think that the answer I would give them is you might as well get it out there as quick as possible because it's not going to go away. The issues are too important. I think Chris has already pointed them out, and I couldn't agree with him on more than there was a blog by Bob Reich where he talked with a former
labor secretary.
Yes, former labor secretary and now a teacher down at Berkeley. And he talked to a former member of Congress, a Republican, who said there are all kinds of people in the caucus talking about Trump as being Looney Tunes. And Rice said, well, why don't they say that publicly? He said, because they're afraid. Well, why don't they go out as a group if they're afraid individually? And he said, well, because Ryan and McConnell don't want to rock the boat. They want to get their political agenda through before this hits and breaks and explodes. And I think there's some truth to that. Ryan has been waiting forever to make his changes in health care, and they're interested in getting all these changes through. But they are ultimately going to have to deal with what the president and Mr. Flynn were doing, and it is going to keep festering. And now you're seeing the Russians involving themselves in the French election, and you're seeing all over the world, and people are just going to keep talking about it, and they're never going to get to the soul of the Republican Party, as Chris is saying. They have to decide this. The Democrats can't do it.
I want to talk more about Russia in a moment. I'm talking with former Seattle Congressman Jim McDermott, former State Republican Party Chair Chris Vance. By the way, last week we talked with a panel of three Donald Trump voters and enthusiastic supporters, and we have standing invitations out to the chair of the Republican Party now, Susan Hutchison, and Congressman Dave Reichert. And more so, we'll continue to look at this from different sides. We were just talking about Russia, and I want to ask both of you, what is the threat? Because I'm old enough, I'm 51, I remember when the threat to, when I was a kid from Russia was nuclear warheads pointed at me. Got it. Now, what, you know, it's not nuclear annihilation, at least I don't hear that being the talk. I realize it's bad for another country to interfere with our elections, obviously, but what is the threat from a cozier relationship between Putin and Trump? What am I supposed to be worried about?
When I was growing up, and I'm 55 years old, the threat was what you just said, and it came because of expansionist, imperialistic Russian communism. This is, I mean, to a large extent, why I became a Republican, because people like Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher were willing to stand up to the Soviet Empire. It's now become, instead of a left-wing communist threat, Russia has metastasized into a right-wing fascist dictatorship. Its foreign policy goals remain the same. Russia has always, from Peter the Great all the way on, has wanted to dominate its neighbors and even ultimately dominate all of Europe. Putin and the ideological people around him, especially a very scary guy named Alexander Dugin, write about creating a Eurasian empire from Lisbon to Vladivostok, dominated by Russian fascism. They seek to dominate first the countries that became free when the Soviet Empire fell, and then pretty much all of the Eurasian landmass. And that sounds crazy, but they're very open about this. My biggest fear is this, is that they will move against the Baltic states, believing that perhaps President Trump will not honor our NATO commitments, they will miscalculate, and we will find ourselves in a shooting war with the only other country in the world that has a huge nuclear stockpile. And I think that keeps me up at night worrying about it.
Jim McDermott, do you worry that the U.S. would get into a shooting war in the Baltics with Vladimir Putin?
Well, I agree with Chris. I think the potential place after the Ukraine is the Baltics, and they're so easy to move in as they did in the 40s and take over Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, that you're very likely be brought to face whether we're serious about what NATO's all about. And Ukraine was not in NATO. Therefore, we didn't have the commitment. But I've been in Poland, and the Poles are scared to death that we're going to collapse and not defend Eastern Europe, that the countries like, you can already see Hungary is moving in a direction that's not very, it's not what we want nor what we hope for, and they're getting closer to Putin. And so when you see that happening in Eastern Europe, you realize that the easy one would be to knock off the Baltics as a starter, just to see, are the Americans made out of anything, or are they just talk? And that's going to be a real interesting question for us to face.
I mentioned the Trump voters we've had on and will continue to have on. I was just seeing something new in the New York Times today about, I think the headline was something like, are liberals helping Donald Trump? And the idea was, is there a liberal hyperventilation about everything Donald Trump is, says, tweets, represents, that just pushes his supporters more into his camp? I'll start with the non-liberal, anti-Trump Republican Chris Vance.
Well, yes, they are, but there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, again, my side of the island, and look, I have never changed my political beliefs. I'm a Reagan Republican, which is why I don't support Donald Trump. I mean, I support free trade. I support NATO. Ronald Reagan passed the biggest amnesty program for, quote, illegal immigrants anyone ever did. I'm a Reaganite. And there's a huge conflict on the Republican side. And unfortunately, when moderate-ish Republicans see people protesting in the streets, they just instinctively don't like that. And it just makes them want to rally to their team. But that's just sort of unfortunate because there's no way you can ask people to not protest and speak out. But unfortunately, one of the byproducts is it helps to firm up the other side, which is why the only way this has got to happen is Republicans have got to talk to Republicans and get them to come to their senses. And I'm trying.
Oh, so liberals, protest if you want to, but you're not the real game here. This is up to the Republicans.
You know, Bill, all of us, whether we're liberal or conservative or whatever you want to put on us, want America to succeed. We may disagree in how we think it will succeed or in the direction it ought to go to succeed, but we want it to succeed. And part of this protesting in the street is not so much protesting Trump. It's protesting on the issue of whether or not people are entitled to have health security in the form of insurance. And the Republican Party has taken that on ever since Obama did it and voted 66 times to take it out. And so a lot of this has really nothing to do, these meetings, these town meetings that are going so badly for members are about Obamacare, which really isn't about Trump. It's about the attitude of whether or not people should be secure enough to feel that if they get sick, they're going to get taken care of and can pay for it without going into bankruptcy. That's the fundamental issue here. So it's easy to think, well, this is all protests about Trump. No, it isn't. Trump is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. The Republicans elected a guy who said they would do what they've been talking about ever since Obama put it in. So he's kind of a fall guy in a way. Really, the issue is, what are we going to do for the American people? What makes America strong?
Former Congressman Jim McDermott and former State Republican Party Chair Chris Vance, what's your final word to listeners? What do you want to leave us with?
Pay attention, stay active, speak out, and to my fellow Republicans, you know, stop instinctively supporting the head of the party just because he's the head of the party. He doesn't agree with Republican positions on traditional issues, and And for one thing that may break his hold on the Republican Party is when he submits a budget proposal that raises the debt by $5 trillion because he wants to massively cut taxes without reforming entitlements. Maybe that will be the point where Republicans realize this guy's not a conservative. I'm hoping.
Chris Vance, former state representative and more. Good to talk with you again, Republican Chris Vance. Thank you.
You bet.
And former Seattle Congressman Jim McDermott, when does that budget come down?
Well, he should be getting a budget proposal ready within a month or so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they are in that process. We've heard absolutely nothing except sort of rumors. And Chris is right. I find myself thinking Chris ain't such a bad guy.
A Republican, huh?
Well, he's
about that.
He's got it analyzed. The question is not of the analysis of the problem. It's what direction you're going to solve it. And I don't think Trump is ready to take on this battle because he doesn't understand enough of it.
Former Seattle Congressman Jim McDermott is now teaching a class at the University of Washington about the first 100 days of this presidency. So we're only a third in. Can we talk again soon?
I'll be here.
Thanks. I'll be here, too. Thank you for tuning in to KOW's The Record. We're live tweeting at KOW, so let us know what you think.